Great. Good to see you, Jimmy. It's good to see you in person, but also we're grateful that you've been able to kind of keep zooming in virtually with us. Yeah, give us a bit of an idea where you are, who you are, who you're married to, that kind of thing. There's a bit of an accent, so we've picked up that already. Yeah, we don't need the whole life history, but it'd be lovely to know, yeah, where you're, how you've got to be sitting there today. Oh, we can't hear you. You're unmuted. We should be able to hear you.
I only realised how tall Jimmy is, seeing the video face in conference.
Now, can you hear me?
Yes. Yeah, we can. We can. Excellent.
All right. You think we'd have figured out this Zoom thing after 2 years, but hey.
Have the same issue.
Yeah, so Jimmy, let's see, I was born in Virginia in the US, site of the first British colony in America. So there's your history lesson. And born and raised there, and after uni, got a job. It was kind of a gap year thing, teaching in a school over here. And through that school, got plugged into Christian summer camps in this country. And through that, found a kind of training apprenticeship role in a church and met and married my wife there. And then we did some more theological college back in the States, and then got this job here in Essex 2018. So summer 2018, we moved here. So I'm married to Ali. She was doing youth and children's work at the church when we met. So, you know, shared interest in working for the church ministry. And now we have two girls, and our exciting news is third is on the way in May. So, you know, trying to keep that church growing.
Wonderful. Yeah, we like biological growth as well. It's great. Wonderful. So, give us a little. I know there's been some kind of movements over the last year or so, and perhaps what changes of direction, but changes of strategy, how things have rolled out, perhaps slightly differently to how you expected. Do you want to bring us up to speed on how?
Sure. Yeah. Hey, our church plan is probably everyone's church plan feels unusual, but ours is unusual for a few reasons. One, I took a job for a larger church in a village that we're planting into a city. You know, normally you would think that would go the other way around, but for whatever reason, Damery Mission thriving here in the village, drawing a lot of people from the city. So the church had been considering for a number of years to plant back into Chelmsford, which is 6-7 miles away, 15 minutes in the car. And we were due to launch March of 2020. And yeah, you know what happened then. So it ended up being a kind of a strange soft launch, Zoom launch. And it was a more of an internal growing our community internally for the year of lockdown mainly. That was going positively. And we were hoping to sort of relaunch publicly weekly meeting. We'd stayed close to the mother church over that year, obviously leaning on resource and relationships and staff here. And then we were set to relaunch out summer of 2021, this summer just gone, and a church down the road. So I see Phil in the back there, where Phil's parents are. Their church, we'd had some good relationships with over the years, and had even had a discussion with them 3 years before about whether we might do anything together, make the planting more of a joined up thing. And some things happened earlier this year. You could ask Phil more about it, but some health challenges that brought leadership situation to a really critical point in this church that was already in Chelmsford. And so we ended up, they ended up asking to join us basically, and not a kind of small, you know, dying church. There were 50, 60, 70 believers coming on a Sunday, and they had a building. So we've gone into their building, and our group of, you know, our launch group of 30 has now been added to by, you know, 60 from this established church. And so we're sort of planting out of their building in Chelmsford. So that's obviously been a huge pivot for us. I think from being a year where we were more internally focused and just kind of surviving the pandemic, looking after each other, little bits of evangelism where we could. Now, all of a sudden, we've had a huge influx of new faces. And I say on Sunday, it feels like about half the room is from Broomfield Road Church, where Phil's parents are. A quarter of the church is our original launch team. And another quarter is just new people who were sort of watching us from a distance online. And have, once we started meeting weekly in this building in town, they've dumped in as well. So it's really a mix of people, which is disorientating for our kind of launch group and a little bit strange. But the guests, the new people have really loved it actually, because the feel on Sunday is that this is a thing where everyone's getting to know each other. So it makes it a little less intimidating than a kind of tightly knit launch team where everyone knows each other already and you're the new person. So I think it's been good for new people. And obviously there have been challenges for our launch team accommodating and getting to know new people, as well as for the established church. We've come into their building and effectively taken on running services largely there. So it's a huge change for them. And there's been a real gospel heartedness for most to kind of accept this new state of play and not feel too grumpy about it. So yeah, that's the season we're in.
Yeah, that is it's wonderful. It's a complicated situation. It's great that you didn't say 25% are actually those who are just new, who are connecting online and joining. That's wonderful.
I think a lot of people, probably others, have experienced too that lockdown was a kind of a disconnect. If you're a little bit discontent in your present church, lockdown kind of provided a natural opportunity where you step back a bit for that year. And then as things started going again, it was a time to connect into a different church. So there's a bit of kind of shifting around churches. And then there's some new people that have come to the city as well.
Yes. Within the new, there's kind of a bit of transfer, a bit of maybe Christians who've come into the city, and any kind of non-Christian kind of contacts that you're seeing?
Not massively, no. We've had some encouraging visitors over the autumn, but can't point to a big evangelistic fruit from over the lockdown period. So,
yeah. You've got a lot of interesting dynamics going on there, haven't you, Jimmy? Because you've got the dynamic between your the launch team in a sense and the church are kind of in a sense grafting with. So there's that kind of dynamic, but then also new people coming into that as well. So which as you say is quite a helpful thing, that it's not just those two groups. You're looking outward as well, and then you're trying to think evangelistically as well. Do you feel kind of tensions between those different dynamics? How are things going sort of relationally, do you feel?
We're through the honeymoon phase, I think. Early days, it was sort of felt miraculously plain sailing. And it really was a big change for the established church that were there. And I think many felt more positive. I was surprised how positive they were for a group to come in. I think some had been feeling a tension of where is this church going? We can see the trajectory isn't brilliant. And so even though us coming in and moving things around a bit wasn't everything they dreamed of, it was at least hopeful to have a new chapter in the life of the church. So that started really positively, but now people are feeling the wear of it's a few months in and it's different and I miss some of the old ways. So we're always trying to involve the original, the church family that were in that building, trying to keep them involved. And then for our group, it's going between keeping, involving new folk, but not making it feel like for our launch team that we've just pivoted into a revitalization work. We didn't want to go into we're going to revive this existing church. We wanted to keep our original vision, which had a lot of alignment, but wasn't completely aligned, particularly with the geographical focus of it. So it's tiptoeing a line that's acceptable to both sides. And I think we sense that there is going to be a need to prioritize relational mission, getting to know our neighbors and colleagues. And that's something we've been working on as a launch team. But now with taking more people on, I think we're going to try and give next year to going through that, going through that process again and thinking, I'm going to use some of the Passion for Life. So thank you for recommending that on here, that Passion for Life stuff about the sessions for getting to know our neighbors. We're going to try and use some of that in the spring. And we're going to think about praying for at least, I think we'll try and think about praying for at least one non-Christian, you know, from nowhere kind of contact to warm up, and for, you know, for one new baptism for the end of the year 2022, you know, Christmas. Or so we want to pray for a conversion there, and then work through the year in terms of, you know, in the winter term, thinking about how do we get to know and love our neighbors. Then in the summer, thinking about how do we bring the Bible and spiritual matters into those conversations. So something like Word One-to-One or Uncover Gospels. And then in the autumn, thinking probably about something like a gospel outline and kind of sealing the deal, as it were. How do you lead someone through the process of making a decision to follow Christ? So that feels like where we need to do, to kind of go back through that loop again that we've been working on a launch team, but do that with this wider group. But it's tricky, the dynamics between, but I think it's probably right that I'm getting some fire from both sides of, it feels like too much change, or it feels like not enough change. We're trying to navigate that.
Sure. Could you just tell us a bit more? You mentioned geographical focus. Tell us a little bit about your geographical focus, where you are, who you're trying to reach, and what you know, what Chelmsford is like.
So our church plant originally went out thinking Chelmsford city centre. Chelmsford is 110 or 120 in the near urban area, and 170,000 in the wider district. So it's a smaller city, but it's a city. And there are some churches like this church that have joined us that we've had good partnership with over the years, but not many that would be in a kind of conservative and expository ministry camp, hardly any actually. So there was a sense that we wanted to do that in a city center Chelmsford context. So that was our focus, and kind of young people commuting, starting families. There are two unis in Chelmsford, so there's a bit of students around, but they're not traditional. They tend to be more mature, so that's not an obvious place to pour into. Now, the church that have joined us, they were just north of city center, and they were planted into a new estate that was being built. So theirs was an estate vision, which is excellent and fantastic thing to be doing, but it was just slightly different from where we were. So that's where the biggest point of change is, that we have, you know, I want to have an eye to the whole city and towards a more city center dynamic. And part of that, which I'll drop in here, is that we sense that there's a weakness and an opportunity in Mid-Essex, in the region, to be doing a sort of commission thing, but in this region, churches in partnership, planting and revitalizing. And so that's another reason for City Center is looking to have a sort of hub and a focal point for a regional vision, networking vision. We've had the kind of coming out of pandemic, we've had a number of churches come to us and say that the kind of recapitalization to get going back out of the pandemic has shut them down. So we've had four or five churches over the last year come and say, we're on our last legs. What is there anything you could do with building or a few people? And we've had to say a lot of no's. And I think the vision is that we'd love to build up to a place to where we could say yes to more of those opportunities and do more of a regional work. So, that's some of the city center vision. I mean, the building we're in now is also full, the existing building. So we've with new people joining in, we're full. So another thing that's thrown in the mix is that we're trying to buy a building in city center. A good opportunity has come along, so we're also trying to buy a site. So that's something we've got a bid out right now, and we're hoping to hear good news back about that.
Can you say a little bit more about what the difference is between an estate focus and a city focus in terms of when you in practice, does that mean you're sort of emphasizing workplace evangelism more than door to door, for example? Or, you know, what does it actually mean? I mean, it's exciting, that kind of that wider vision of a network of churches. But in terms of City Church Chelmsford, how is that kind of, how are you trying to reshape that vision of an essentially kind of a state church?
Yeah, that's a good question. I think probably the biggest things are, for us, it's that focus on relational ministry, sending everyone out to the places where they are around the city to be on mission on their street and in their workplace. And so not pulling too many people into a centralized, so the church that we've gone into have run a nursery, you know, a playgroup for 30 odd years, which draws people from local, and then they draw in families to an afternoon service out of that, and they've had some great kind of caroling going around the estate, and those are all good things to be doing, and we're continuing those where people have vision for them, but we're not focusing the church on kind of local caroling around the church building, but we want to be doing things that kind of work all across the city, as it were, and send people back out. So I think, yeah, to me, it's mostly wanting to be geographically a bit more central, and then to do things that kind of equip and send people out to wherever they are around the city, rather than saying we're going to focus on getting to know our neighbors in this more tight area. So, you know, come in and go with us door to door here. You know, we'd more encourage people to go out and do it in your street or your estate where you are. So, but the biggest thing, I think, is the geographic location. We wanted to be in this central square mile. And so we're the building we're looking at is there. So it's a physical move as well as the kind of vision that we're saying. Sure. We want you to be active in these spaces is also different.
Yeah, that's really helpful. Thank you. And in terms of the training stuff you were talking about, something like a year cycle, was that of kind of going through those different sort of steps? It's starting like now, starting this?
Starting in January. It's all just sort of, it's kind of come off the back of you sharing the things here. And I looked at Passion for Life things and thought, there's some great things in there about getting to know our neighbors and loving them. And so, and then thinking, I think also, I think it was at FIC conference that someone talked about praying, you know, a church that were praying for one conversion. I thought it's nice to put down a concrete target like that. Let's pray for one conversion of someone coming from nowhere spiritually over the next year. And then it just all kind of fell into place that why not start with relationships and just think about moving through the whole process with the church family over the course of a year. So that hopefully, you know, our members would take one more step. Maybe they'd already got the relational thing, but they need the more spiritual input in conversations, or maybe they're doing that already, but they need to think about, you know, sort of sealing the deal with someone, leading them through conversions. So, we'll see how it goes. It's kind of making up, building the plane as we fly. But that's the hope for this next year.
Great. And in terms of sort of just broader kind of communicating vision, you were saying that there's that slight difficulty of you've worked with 30 or so guys for, you know, a year or two, and they're pretty clear on what you're trying to do. Then there's you know, you're trying to communicate that again and stuff. Are there different ways that you've found to sort of communicate that in terms of on Sundays or in midweek stuff, or just, I don't know, branding, or, you know, are there ways that you're trying to sort of realign things?
Probably the best thing we did for that was that we asked everyone from the church joining us to go through for partnership, you know, membership evenings. And so rather than just doing a kind of bulk transfer, you know, we wanted to get the vibe of not just we're sort of merging together, but we're asking you to join into our church plant vision. So we did that, and we tried to do it in a way that was also encouraging for our existing team. So a fair few of them came along to those as well. So that was September. We gave midweek evenings to doing that. And that was probably the clearest time it got across. And then it's been trying to do it some in sermon application. over the autumn. We've been going through Philippians, so gospel partnership, and then I think it'll come more again in the new year if we make a push for this kind of year-long relational mission training focus that we'll set that out for the new year. Mm-hmm. I try and do, during the pandemic, I started doing little weekly emails, videos, because I thought that was a little more relational than typing up an email. And so that got familiar enough that I've been able to try and keep, most weeks it feels like one thing more than I want to do, but I try and still make a weekly video. And in those, I would try and regularly, you know, give a point to that way, in terms of not just, Christmas is coming up. Yeah, think of who, someone around you that you might want to be at a Christmas carol service, and then work back from there. What would be the right step to get them to accept? Could you invite them over or go for a walk? Or so it's just trying to lead people through that relational process in any communication we do, really have an eye to that.
That's great. I mean, those are great little videos. I've seen a few of those that you've done, and if anyone hasn't seen them, do check out the it's on your Twitter feed, I think, isn't it? And but you've got a real gift for doing that well and quality, and they're just nice little punchy 1 or 2 minutes with a bit of a devotional or a training kind of focus, and they've been great. So well done with those. In terms of leadership stuff, I was wondering, kind of, have you trying to kind of take a few leaders from, how has that worked in terms of who are the leaders and stuff?
Yeah, we're an independent church here in Danbury, but we've wanted to do the church plant well and with a lot of resource from Mother Ascending Church. So we've stayed under a joined up eldership. So effectively we're a sort of multi-site thing at the moment under a joined up eldership. So we have 2 of 9 elders are with our church plant, and there are another 7 that are based still here at the mothership. So we plan to appoint more leaders, more elders from our church plant group, to sort of build up our group quite soon, maybe even this autumn. But then with this new church joining into us, we've pushed it back probably by more than a year to give us a chance to get to know all these new faces coming in, so that anyone, legitimately has a shot, the right people have a shot to be appointed. Mm-hmm. So yeah, that's something where I guess we're, I don't know if it's fudging our convictions or we're going for a more joined up approach, but the hope is still longer term to build up an eldership. But also part of that is that we want to, in doing this regional vision, we still haven't really figured out what the relationships might look like on the regional vision. Is it independent churches in a partnership, or is it more joined up in that with some centralized finance or legal or admin? So we haven't yet figured out, we haven't got a clear idea of where we're headed in that direction. So this gives us a bit more time to think about, what we want to be building up to and what is the right step along the way for leaders. So I've got 1 other elder, and then the elders from who are up here at the, I'm in the mother church now, but they're visiting us. One of them is visiting us each Sunday to provide a bit of extra support and relationship. So.
Yeah, and I can see a lot of wisdom in that. In terms of sort of the, you don't want to sort of say lower level because that sounds bad, but in terms of the sort of maybe less formal small group leaders and people who lead worship and stuff like that, how does that work?
Yeah, we're really blessed to have a great, keen team. And Sending Church had a really developed youth work. So a lot of people who are taking leadership in youth work roles. And then when we went out, we pulled people who tended to be kind of youth work leaders and bumped them up into being home group leaders or, taking on responsibility for music and service leading and some preaching. So our church plan has opened up a lot of opportunities to kind of develop and give a bit more responsibility to some of these younger, young but keen leaders. So that's really great. And we've tried to prioritize those younger leaders and some who had more experience, we put in kind of deputy positions. So our model has tended to be get a younger, newer face leading, but with a more experienced support behind them. So we were pretty privileged in terms of having people who could lead things. That is now feeling tight with a lot more people in. I'd love for us to launch 2 or 3 more home groups, but it's not clear where the leadership for that will come. And then we're trying to get a little youth work going for now. We've got some youth around. You know, we didn't have youth before. Our launch team just had sort of 5 under 5s. Well, now we have a full complement of ages and we're trying to do a youth work, but all the youth work leaders have been kind of have taken home group leading roles or have taken on responsibility for music or so. Yeah, we're feeling tight now. We felt like we had tons of leaders at the beginning, but now we're being stretched a bit. So yeah, that's our leadership.
Great. It'd be great to pray for you, but I should open it up to other questions, because I'm sure others have got questions. It's really, really interesting stuff. Guys in the room or online, do shout out a question. Barry, yeah.
Jimmy, thanks for sharing. It's all fascinating. Just a quick question about this move. So as I understand it, your church plant, smaller, came in, partnered then with this established church that had its own building. And that building was near an estate. And now you're looking to purchase in the city center. How did you do vision amongst the established church for them to buy into that idea? Because that seems pretty tricky. I imagine the established church. Yeah, I mean, are you selling the building? Like, how are you doing that? How did that go down?
So some of that is still in discussion, but I think that we were helped in that. Let's see, it is a big change and it's a costly shift for them. We had a conversation with them 2 years ago, like I said, about doing more of a revitalization thing. And we'd ended up deciding it wasn't the right thing to do. And it was over this issue of kind of geographic focus of the work that it wasn't the right thing to do. So this spring, when the conversation came again, they sort of knew that was pretty key for us. And so to make it work, their leaders and then their congregation had to kind of buy into this is a change of vision for us to join in. And I was personally really helped by having a wider eldership here and kind of shared leadership. Actually, some of the kind of hard, how's it going to work? You know, who's going to be in the leadership? Some of those kind of bad cop conversations were had by some of the other great and servant elders here. And that freed me up to be a bit more just sort of friendly, pastoral, getting to know people. And sort of others were having some of those hard conversations. So that was there right from the beginning, is that was a kind of make or break thing that we don't want to step away from the city center vision for this more estate focused vision. So that it's not been easy. And the people who've really struggled most with the change are those who have a real heart for and rightly have served in this kind of local estate vision for decades. So it is really costly, but at least at the kind of leader level, people had to know that they were buying into that to join into us.
Yeah, John.
Very encouraging to hear your story. The one thing that struck me when you were talking, you've got your launch team, they're on side with you theologically. How did you find the church that you went into? I mean, I think the worst thing if a new person's coming into a church and there's disagreement. So how did you work that out?
Well, yeah, again, there was a lot of alignment actually with the group. And from the conversation we'd had 3 years ago, we already knew that sort of theologically and even kind of practically on expository ministry things that or style of music that there was a lot of similarity. So we'd already covered that ground, and then 3 years ago we'd broken down over the geographic focus. So we'd already done a lot of that work And there was a lot of common ground there. So I think that's actually largely been okay. It's a church from a Brethren background, and so there's been a shared leadership. So maybe one thing is that some of the convictions on paper weren't always worked out into all the programs because of a kind of Brethren lay leadership thing. A lot of people have been left to sort of get on with their programs and you take responsibility for this area. And so some things had sort of had started really well 30 or 20 years ago and have just sort of carried on for those 20 years. So what we're doing now as we're getting together and we're considering relaunching some of those things is we're trying to see how, you know, say running a toddlers group, Phil's mum, brilliant toddlers group, but how do we bring that in line with some of our convictions and make some changes there? Or what was one of the other things that this afternoon, they were in a Sunday afternoon service, but it had been sort of on the periphery. And so we're just trying to help see that things get, you know, have a more active lead and get lined up with what our convictions are. But the theological things and even preaching style, there was a lot of common ground. So that made it easier.
And you spoke about doing your joining in, kind of 4 weeks of joining in. Did you have any theological sort of underlying there in that?
Yes. Yeah. So week one, we did the theological stuff, and our statement of faith is basically the FIEC thing. So we work through that. We go through that, and then we go through, we have sort of five secondary positions, including about Israel and dispensationalism. We would say, you know, we would be up front that that's not what you'll hear. But then because of secondary, you know, you can have a different conviction and still join partnership in our church if you're happy to be in the church and to respect what you'll hear from the front on that. So I think that's a strength of Sinning Church, is that they've kind of identified some of these distinctive positions, or, you know, or about charismatic or conservative, or about about creation or about the end times, and sort of say, these are secondary issues. We don't think they're sort of go to the stake and die for them, but this is what you'll hear taught in our church. You're welcome to join us, even if you have a different conviction, so long as you can respect the leadership and what you'll hear. So that came up front.
100%. Thank you, Jimmy.
Yeah, thanks, Jimmy. That's that helpful distinction that this is the core stuff. These are the things. You've got to be happy to hear these things and be part of this, but you don't have to hold all of these things. Perks, just before we pray, do you want to make a reflection or a thought or loads of stuff?
Yeah. I think all of my questions have been answered on the way through. I think it is tricky. I mean, I think, Jimmy, I want to say good job. I mean, navigating that, I mean, that is tricky. It's, I mean, those are highly mobile goalposts through a pandemic, and to be able to get something in the back of the net is quite an accomplishment. I mean, I guess from our perspective, sometimes if you're trying to pastor a church and you've got a church plant, you've got a launch team, and you're doing the sort of the classic school or whatever, the danger is you think the building is the silver bullet. And I guess some of us might be somewhat envious that not only have you got one building, but you've got the possibility of another as well. So you need to recognize God's generosity. I think one other reflection would be just the significance of a gospel-hearted, sacrificial sending church. I think time and again we've found with planting, and I think Sergei will be experiencing this, to have a mother church that's got your back, that's providing you with wisdom, it having to process things like a doctrinal basis of faith, which has core and secondary and all of those kinds of, now, in other words, it's a question not only of workload for you and capacity, but it is an issue also of wisdom and expertise And those things are hugely helpful. And I think one of the things we're trying to do is encourage our pioneer planters to find a mother, find a surrogate mother, because it's just otherwise you've got a whole lot of stuff beyond that central core business of pastoring people. It just gets overwhelming. I think I guess part of me wants to press you on the vision, but I think you've cleared that up for me. So I was thinking, how do you get these two churches? What are they working towards? And that's presumably tricky for you. You know, you've got your launch team, you've got your newcomers, but the old church, what is their vision? What do they want to work towards and bring into reality? And I suspect you can't you, with a city vision, a centralized vision with regional hubs, one of the things could be, actually what we want to do is plant back into a community in which we're no longer present. So let me ask.
And I've been thinking that the sort of regional vision would be more about church planting 2 years ago, about planting in places. But I wonder if this experience is giving us some history with a sort of semi-revitalization work. And then over the last year, that's felt confirmed with a few other churches coming and saying, hey, we're in trouble. Can you help us? So I wonder if we can say what we want to work towards is being a church that, if a church like yours comes to us like you did 2 years ago and say, can you help us? We want to be in a position to look and think, yeah, that's an opportunity, and to help where you guys were, to maintain that, you know, parish localized vision rather than what's had to happen. So I think that could feed into that broader vision.
The two concerns I had very quickly, and they're very, 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 very minor. One is, you've illustrated it yourself. Populate the training pipeline. I mean, more fooled you. You thought you had lots of leaders,
yeah.
And before you know it, you've run out. I mean, isn't that brilliant? But it's just a reminder to us, in the midst of our planting, we have to keep populating the training pipeline. So it doesn't matter what size you are, what are you doing to train people who could take on responsibility and leadership? You've just got to keep asking that question. The second question was, what are you doing to engage and evangelize? Because I think there's a great danger, isn't there? I mean, you are now a church of not far off 100. I mean, that's got a real buzz to it. But to keep pressing the reason we're doing this is to reach unbelievers with the gospel. And so I was thrilled to hear about your plans on that front. It's great.
And some of our launch team have brought that up after we were really working on that stuff for a year, and we were limited by the pandemic, but we were really thinking relational, you know, try and meet our neighbors and serve them. Well, then this autumn, we've really turned inwards as we've taken on this group of new people and we're working out the dynamics. So they think, yeah, that's been the right thing to do, but let's not forget to look outwards. So I think that's the challenge for next year. Yeah, thank you, Perks.
Oh, it's really exciting.
Brilliant. You've given us a lot of stuff to pray for there, Jimmy. I think there's just arisen naturally out of that. Let's pray for that continued outward lookingness. Pray for that that plan of evangelism training through the next year. Pray for that conversion or more in the coming year. Pray for that alignment of vision. Quite a complicated vision, isn't it? Kind of come with us to be a city centre church, to then possibly plant back and revitalise churches all over Chelmsford. But pray for alignment with that vision for leaders as well to be raised up. And any other kind of burning thing for the next couple of weeks that we need to be praying for you?
Those things are good. Thanks, Annie.
Sweet. I'll put you guys online into breakout rooms, and then we'll just pray for 2 or 3 minutes, and then just go off to coffee after that, and then we'll start back again at 5:30. Is that all right? Great. Let's open those rooms.